Bernie Moreno is looking out for himself, not us. Moreno is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Moreno has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination. One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Moreno has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Moreno take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by AskMe People, AskMePeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Coming at you live from the heart of Lincoln, America, this is Old School, sponsored by the Mercado by Certified Piedmontese. Broadcasting veteran Derek Pearson.
When you find something that moves them, that makes them smile, celebrate it. That's your task. That's your superpower.
Nebraska Football Hall of Famer Jay Foreman.
Rifles a pass. It was tipped. It's picked off by Foreman. He's at the 15, 10, 5. He'll score!
On 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
What up, 5 o'clock hour, Jay Foreman, DP Austin. We're the Old School crew coming at you live, 1040 O Street on this beautiful Monday. We are brought to you by the Mercado, Certified Piedmontese, Special Ingredients of Butcher Shop, 84th and Havelock, 30th Yankee Hill, 85th and Andromat, and 168th and Maple up there in the Metro, Omaha, whatever you want to call it. A lot of stuff going on. Good first hour. A lot of laughs and stuff like that. But what's not going to be a laughing matter is the Fighting the Lion Eye coming in here on Monday, Friday. But more importantly, I think, on what your guys' opinion is that playing Northern Iowa almost is like a mini version of Illinois. And what people don't understand is that when you look at their offensive line, I'm sure Illinois, their offensive line is maybe better. But I'm talking about size and physicality. Northern Iowa's offensive line is Big Ten-ish. Not obviously Iowa or Michigan, but they are on par with a lot of Big Ten teams. So I think for Nebraska to be in an advantageous position to possibly go 4-0. Now look, it's set up for you to do well. Now you got to go out there and earn it. It's good not to. I always say the hardest games to go into are sometimes going into the games. I call it like butt naked. And what I mean by that is you haven't seen a certain style of play, a certain style of offense, and then you play it, then you spend, you know, a quarter and a half kind of, you know, get used to it, and then you catch your second wind, and then next thing you know, you got to work twice as hard. But I think Nebraska has a little bit of a leg up because they play essentially a team that kind of, you know, patterns themselves or plays a lot like Illinois does, especially on offense.
Yeah, I mean, there was discussion earlier about the difference between this year's Illinois team and last year's. And those differences show up the same way Nebraska's differences from a year ago to this year. The numbers per topic, per whatever thing you want to define it as, rushing offense, passing offense, rushing defense, scoring defense, etc., a lot of the arrows, the old Jimmy the Greek arrows, point towards Nebraska, right? Old school folks will remember those days.
Yeah.
You line them up and go, okay, I've been down the list. Nebraska's better at this.
Yeah.
Advantage to Illinois here overall. I like the fact that Nebraska has an opportunity to highlight a thing that they think and say they're good at against a team who's not good at it. Before you get into the meat and potatoes of it, that Nebraska, if they can rush the ball effectively against what seems to be a porous Illinois rushing defense, then it makes Nebraska better down the road.
Yeah.
And like, it allows you, there'll be matchups, physicality up front. There'll be great skill position matchups on the perimeter.
Mm.
And then it's coordinator versus coordinator, yeah. And you kind of like the matchups there. But then you say, listen, for Nebraska to be 3-0, both teams to be 3-0 on a Friday night,
yeah.
The vibe will be different. The execution will be a little different. And for all of the shortness of the week for Nebraska, it's a shorter week for Illinois.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a 3-day week for them.
It's you a got, tough yeah. day.
It's a tough get, but, you know, both you still got to go play the game. You know, I think the one thing that people don't realize about this day and age of college football, and sometimes, you know, say you're playing, I don't know, I guess, like, okay, let's take Wisconsin, where you probably weren't going to be able to run the ball to the same effectiveness as you have over the history of Wisconsin against that Alabama defense that is pretty dang good, right? Well, there's different ways that you can get to the run and be somewhat running the ball, but you just have to do it a different way. You can become a little bit more physical out there on the perimeter with the short, you know, quick passing game to get it to your guys. That takes the place of an outside run. It takes the place of an outside zone or a toss or anything like that. That can soften the defense up because now you're getting defensive linemen running horizontal versus going forward. Then you can pop the conventional runs at them. So it's just like DP said, it comes down to coordinator. But ultimately, you know, there's an old saying, you want to respect every opponent, but you don't want to talk yourself into thinking that they are the second coming of, you know, the Steelers or the 85 Bears or anything like that. And that's not disrespecting anybody. But as much as you want to respect them and say that, you know what, they can be effective in all three areas, you have to constantly remind yourself that they got to worry about us too. And the good thing for Nebraska is that if Nebraska handles their business, that means if it was Illinois or say if it was the same Illinois players and team and it was another school coming in, if Nebraska handles their business, they'll be just fine. That's a good position to be in. Now, it's a hard position to be in because you have to really, really focus in on yourself with when you play Thursday night games like Minnesota, I call it the PJ Fleck Open, or Week Zero, or sometimes even night games. But if you have another night game or maybe a Pac-12 at night when it used to be like that, you're not spotlighted. But Nebraska's been in the spotlight for 2 weeks in a row. This is going to be the third week on a Friday night, which I look at it as a mini bowl game, like a first quarter, first third of the season bowl game look-see, where everybody's going to look and see. Because you're playing Friday night, you're the best, you're the biggest and best game on that Friday night. All eyes are going to be on that.
When was the last Nebraska Friday home game?
Right? Pretty sure this is the first one of the Big Ten era.
First Big Ten.
Right, like, yeah. It's been a minute, right? So
the better question is for text line. When is the last time Nebraska's been 4-0?
16.
Yeah. Oh, there you go, Austin. Awesome.
Yeah, that's going to be the answer to the question until Nebraska gets up to 7-0.
Okay.
8-0 is the next milestone we have to look at.
All right.
Right. Well, yeah. Got all those things in play, right? That it's also there's some newness to Nebraska. I was wondering that for a 7 o'clock kickoff on a Friday, is the sea of red different?
No.
Is the sea of red, so you think
these people,
you
know, like to
3 o'clock,
break.
3 o'clock, 2 o'clock Friday, everybody out.
Well, it's only a night game on Friday, but these people break.
So it's a full stop no matter when the game is.
It's just a matter of people really going to be tailgating. But
I would think Friday that people have their happy hour spots. They're kind of picked out.
They all.
UNL already canceled class.
There it is. They're going to be wide open.
And what did Lincoln Public Schools do with Friday night football games?
There are no Friday night football games in Lincoln. They have two doubleheaders. You better take and then that up. Now.
You better go to Omaha, but go play out
in Ogallala. That was the thing, right? That it really is the focus.
Yeah.
And while it's different, like I would, having gone to Rutgers, etc., on a Friday night in recent years, there is a pause to these games when it comes to the crowd.
Yeah.
If you're Illinois and you're used to that, yeah, that makes sense.
That's great.
You
for them.
Come here and go, that's not what's going
to
happen.
You about to get the bit. You about to get the full. First of all, people are going to be just elated that
could they be more hyped.
Yeah, because they ain't go to work on Friday, so that means they've been pregame since Thursday.
Friday night's going to be
And they get Austin. Saturday and Sunday to recover.
Austin, yeah, okay.
Post game could be fun.
It's going to be fun.
Oh, Friday night in downtown Lincoln.
Yeah, so I think back to the game. I think this is Northern Iowa testing them in a few things. They play hard, man, and it's a prideful program. You know they're going to be tough, and Nebraska had to compete. The one thing that everybody's going to text in about how it looked. What you didn't see, you got to watch the game, which was very apparent early. Was I referenced Dabo Swinney, and I remember when Clemson was right in the height of doing their thing, and I remember they won a game, and I think it was like it might have been against it was like a FCS team, and it was too close for comfort for a lot of people, and they asked Dabo going off the field why, and then he doubled down on it in the press conference. He said, "Listen, we got 100 guys in there, and you didn't even pay attention to that." That's why we have depth, and this is when obviously no transfer portal, so they're able to build guys through those games, and they built depth that way. People didn't even comment on the amount of players, and especially it was apparent very early on defense how many guys played early, like that hadn't probably played didn't play against Colorado, got a lot of reps in crucial times. There's one thing that you have to understand, and I learned this as when I went from backup. In rotational players in the NFL to starter, it's different. Going out there and playing when it's crucial times and it's money time is different when, it's 50-50 whether
when you're chasing down a dude and you know what he's going to do with
or 50-50 whether coaches are going to, you're going to watch the tape as a team or as a defense because it's so late in the game and you got to get ready for the next game. You're in there in prime time. So you're part of the evaluation. Now, the coaches watch it all, but, that's the thing that you have to really focus on is like the plan that they're actually trying to execute. And the plan isn't actually aesthetically, it's actually foundational, wise trying to build something.
I asked Strick this question. What your guys' thoughts? What was the most important play of Nebraska, Iowa? To me, it was the Marquise Buford pass breakup on third down from the 5-yard line. You keep 7 points off the board. They decide to kick a field goal and then you're off to the races from there.
That's a good play.
I thought it was Dylan pulling and running for 8, 12, whatever it was, to the right sideline.
Yeah, that could be.
Because it just cleared everything on that third of the field for him. Like, they were just diving. They were crashing. Everything hard. He pulled it, and it was almost like you could hear their defense exhale. Like, oh, boy. Now we got to defend that, too.
Well, I think the best part of that play, DP, and I liked your play there, Austin, was that he was smart enough, as we've seen, to get out of bounds. He did it. He got enough. He wasn't greedy. He was smart, and that's why he's the starting quarterback. I think the best play, I would say, I'd probably say, if I had to say the most important play, probably that, Austin, because it showed some, bullying your, bow in your neck. It showed some swag a little bit that you're going to play, right? You're going to compete. So, and it's one of your leaders in Buford. So I think it's twofold. The two important, the really good play, importantly, is like where, Northern Iowa started to get a little bit of pressure, but Dylan was able to climb in the pocket. And I think he threw it to Borkutcher, right? So a lot of times when you evaluate young quarterbacks, you got to look at two things. Now, what I used to look at, number two things, they're quarterbacks in general, but is you look at the good ones and the ones that are not so good is ball handling. How do you handle the ball and how do you operate when you're under duress? Right? You can't simulate that. It's not God-given ability, but it's a skill that you have to hone in, but it has to be part of your DNA to start with. Right? It's pocket presence, whatever name you want to call it. He was able to climb in the pocket twice and then throw a dart on time, on target in the middle of the field.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. At Kroger Pharmacy, care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Bernie Marino is looking out for himself, not us. Marino is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Marino has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination. One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Moreno has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Moreno take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by AFSCME People, AFSCMEPeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this act, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
Why is that important when you're a defender evaluating? Number one, it goes into what DP says. I have to stay in my drop longer. So in crucial third downs, whether I'm in a matchup zone, which is essentially man-to-man when he comes in my zone, or if I'm playing regular zone, I have to play with depth, right? And then if we're in man-to-man, my back will be turned. How is that important? How is that holistically important to the offense? If I play with more depth and they hit us with checkdowns, that gives our running back more space to operate, right? That's how you keep the chains moving. Death by a thousand paper cuts. Just off that play, I got to put that in my memory bank. On third and six plus, I have to be with excellent depth. I can't come out of my break because he's not climbing to run. He's climbing to run if he has to and passes. Number two, when you go back, and I think it was even when Casey Thompson was here, and actually, oddly enough, he got hurt, I think, against Illinois, was – this is where it's important. This is the improvement from last year and, well, obviously 2 years ago, but then obviously improved to this year. The running backs are doing an excellent job in pass protection and actually the timing of getting out into their secondary routes. When Casey was here, they were too quick to get into the route because, you know what, they had to get the ball. I was individual, right? You went right past the stunt by 49, hits him on the funny part of his elbow, you're done, right? So your chances of making a bowl game, good night, Irene. And at that time, Mickey was the coach. Now when you do it, on top of what I said, you keep the in check, hopefully, the pass rushers. You're helping the tackles. Now I'm playing with more depth.
The safeties have to.
So essentially, now you can just first down them to death like that. And then that's when you can be explosive. So that's what's most important is where you see some more of a, I'll call it top-down type of football play, meaning you're affecting the top of the defense to the middle, but you're benefiting at the base of it, which would be dealing in a late rollout and tuck it or a checkdown.
Critical moment for, you know, third and whatever.
Yeah, I'm chasing a crosser.
Critical moment, red zone.
Right.
Like, pull it if you want. Go ahead. Right. We'll over-defend. Right. Now you have a Carter Nelson factor with Fedoni. You got to keep an extra two safeties in point, and then it's a killer. It extends the defense that you got to stay out there for another three or four downs. That's terrible.
The worst feeling in the world, Austin. You want to know what the worst feeling in the world is when you're in the defense? Take a guess.
I'm trying to think here.
Go back to your mind when you was playing nose guard. There never was a time. I was joking.
Yeah, I was going to say, no, never me. I'm somewhere between Turf Monster or demoralized long third down conversion.
I see what you're doing there.
Yeah, nothing personal.
And your boy just walked in.
He just threw the dagger at
you. He did throw the dagger. Yeah, but somebody got the turf monster on Saturday. It was Northern Iowa. So I am gone.
You're absolved.
And the statute of limitations is gone. Mm. But you need to also, when you make reference to that, it's probably one of the best catches ever in Nebraska history in the game. One-handed behind my back. Giving props. But anyways, back to it. The worst thing is a defense, and when you're playing, whether they're driving the ball. So anytime that you get past, say, like seven plays, and you finally get you win on first and second down, and it's third and seven, third and six, great coverage. Pass rush could be good. Somehow he breaks at the pocket, and he gets that first down plus one. That's demoralizing.
Yeah, there's a hands on the hip.
It's like, dang. Because it's demoralizing not only for the defenders that's starting to be out there, whoever's calling the plays, obviously they got to keep it in check. But then also it's a cause and effect because it affects how an offensive coordinator can call the next series based on when you stop them, if you stop them. Because if DP is the offensive coordinator and you're out there playing and I'm the defensive coordinator, DP's play calling, if we were to get the ball back at, say, like R35, is significantly different if we get lucky enough they miss the field goal and we get it at R17. Or if we kick it off and we have it at the 22. It's 13 yards, but his playbook is reduced by 40% just based on one first
down. And I've got more time to calculate. I've got more time to maneuver personnel. I've got more time. I've got fresher players going back out there.
Right.
It's a whole bunch of stuff. And then I'm really looking. I'm really looking because if I attack the third, the outer third, I've got fewer people to beat than if I'm trying to beat 11.
Yeah.
If I'm only going to beat four and one's a safety that I've held a little longer, a linebacker that I've kept occupied a little longer, and a defensive end that missed, that outer third's mine for a while.
Yeah, I mean, it's a hard job to do. That's why defensively pass rush integrity, lane integrity is huge. It's huge on offense and defense and on special teams. It's no different. And this is how you go about it. So Nebraska's going to have to be excellent there. They're going to have to tackle well, you know. They're going to have to emphasize some knockback. That means gang tackling and knock these dudes back, whether it's conventional run, tight end, you know, catches, wide receiver. You got to punish these wideouts.
Finish dominant.
You got to punish these dudes.
Like, I can't. Yards after catch, no. I need to finish on top of you.
Yeah, defensively. We got to.
Like, it's just.
We got to accumulate your body going into that ground multiple times. It might not pay dividends right away, but come second, third, fourth quarter, it will slow you down. And it also will discourage you from doing anything that I don't want you to do.
Having Nash and Ty lean on you and then fall on you four times, and you got to fight to get that 320-pound dude off of you, and all the sweat, and all the, I can get up, run my way back. Unless I'm Jerome Bettis, that ain't happening three, four, and five.
Yeah, I mean, it's a big game to start quick. The biggest thing for Nebraska coming out of this Northern Iowa game, you just got to win first, second down. You got to win first, second down. How do you win first, second down before we go to break? Obviously, you got to align correctly. You got to know your assignment, align. You got to be aggressive, and then you got to play football. You got to make some plays. And making some plays isn't doing, I got to make a play. Make the plays that you're supposed to make, and then get in on the plays that you originally weren't supposed to make. And that's doing your job and then hauling butt and going and being a football player. You do that longer and harder than Illinois on offense and defense, you'll be fine. It won't be easy. And you got to, when you play against a team like Illinois, you got to punish these dudes.
Tony Dungy was talking this weekend about the discipline of a good defense is that no matter what other chaos they put around you, smart eyes. He says, just stay focused on your task, on your responsibility. He says, it's missed. He said, gap integrity, people forget. They think of the physical aspect of it. But the mental aspect of don't go hunting. Yep. Work is coming.
Don't take the cheese.
Right? Work is coming. Looking for work. Work is coming.
Yeah, it'll come to you. Don't take the cheese. Eyes are important. Eyes are important in the run game, both offensively and defensively across the line. Because once your eyes are good, your hands and feet will be excellent as well. Especially at the second level, you know, this is a Big Ten. It's going to be a rush. They're going to be a big physical team. So you got to be extremely violent and want to get off the blocks with your hands. It's going to be a physical game. So there's no fair dodging. Listen, don't show up Friday night think you're going to get into like a Colorado game. Like this is a game that you show up ready to go, and it's a easy game in the sense of you know what's coming. The hardest part is you got to go out there and execute it, and then also like kind of contain your rage a little bit into being like DP said, being a smart player, being a selfless player, but then being aggressive.
Matt Rhule was asked about Illinois today. Obviously, it's Illinois week. Not once did he say the name Caden Feagan, their Derrick Henry-sized running back. He brought up their two receivers. Was that on purpose? Was that trying to bait Illinois to, yeah, we really like your receivers. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's well, it goes without saying. They got one has 15 receptions, one has 16 receptions. So in three games, they're getting five passes each. So that's where the ball's most has been going. One's a, you know, is a guy that, you know, they try to get the ball to close to the, I call it the green zone. Red zone, whatever you want to call it, you know, money zone, whatever, you know, everybody's got fancy names for it, except for when they all look in scoring time, they're trying to get him the dang ball. Other dude is more your like middle of the field. Now they both can score. They're both good. So you know what they're doing, you know what they're going to bring. So you got to defend it and you got to, you know, make sure that you are alert to it. But I think we match up well with them. You know, I think so. That's you know, if we didn't have anybody that can cover them, I think that would be a problem. But sure, that's where the ball's been going. They got two, three big running backs. But so did Northern Iowa. So that's what's good, where you're not surprised by a big running back of their stature, because it's different when you're playing. I'm telling you this right now. When you play against big running backs, it is a little different because the strike zone is different. His gait is different. How he runs certain plays generally as a big back is a lot different.
Who are the big running backs, some of the big ones you faced?
Eddie George. He's like a DN. 6'4", 245. Now, the hard thing about Eddie George was that he was a big guy. He had quick enough feet so he could dice you up a little bit, but he could run behind his pads too. And he was really good out of the backfield, and he was a great player. They didn't have a lot. I mean, big, like, I mean, obviously Brandon Jacobs. I mean, he was, oof, I played with him. I seen him take a lot of souls. There wasn't a lot of big backs like that I could think of. You know, I didn't play against Ironhead Hayward or anybody like that. I mean, the biggest back, Jerome Bettis. Tackling Jerome Bettis was, now he wasn't tall. My man was, they listed him at 260. Whoever did that, they did him a favor. He was about 285,
and he had the best knees in football.
And he had quick. And listen,
but he had that best knee. Like you would hear London Fletcher talk about his core had to be fully engaged to tackle Bettis, because if he didn't, he would just pump those knees into your stomach. Yeah,
he got a good leg drive. He diced my boy Rayon Hill up. He gave him the best dead leg. I was like, dang. And Rayon just kept moving, kept on running. So he's quick, though, man. He could, and then he could run.
Did Rayon get out of the frame?
He kept running out of there. But also, Jerome Bettis back, like, obviously not later in his career, but early in his career, he had breakaway speed, too. He'd run away from him. Yeah. And so, I mean, there wasn't a lot of big backs, but, you know, you got to think, like, you know, Edgerrin James was a big dude. Curtis Martin wasn't that big, but there was a lot. I mean, Antoine Smith.
You know who's Gerald Riggs?
Yeah, I didn't play against him.
Riggs was just massive. Big Country. Stephen Davis.
Yeah, he was big. yeah, I mean, there wasn't a lot of. I'm just trying to think of the big backs, like huge. That was about it. Oh, Steve or Mike Allstott.
Yeah. Tampa was just. They were just showing.
Yeah.
Up. They were just showing off.
Yeah, because they had him and Lorenzo Neal. That was big back.
They tried Peyton Hills, and then.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I didn't play against him, but they had some big back. I mean, but not big like tall like that. There's only Eddie George, and that was it. So, anyways, We're going to take a quick break. We got a lot of activity going on out here. What's going on out here?
Dressing up for a little party tonight.
Oh, all
dressing right. up the mill for a little party tonight.
You got to blow it. Was that Herbie Husker out there?
Yeah, got some stuff going on.
Bro. Yeah, 1 year anniversary VIP party. Got a little Herbie Husker going on. Chris Kloarvik is up in here. Uh-uh. Yeah, you got a lot.
Kloarvik's in. Where you?
Yeah. Anyways, we're gonna take a quick break. Come back, Jay Foreman, DP Austin Norman. We'll be right back.
At Kroger Pharmacy, Care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. At Kroger Pharmacy, Care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.